Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus.
Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing to you with these instructions so that, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory.
Good evening, everyone. So if you've got your books, I think it's page 36, so I'll have them open in front of you, that'd be great. Use them as you want. Before I start, first of all, haven't Reuben and Vicky led us really well? The boss, aren't they? Boss, that means great. So if I say boss, I mean great. The best. You're the best. It's been really good. And you know, having the last few nights, been amazing as well. Hasn't Steve led us so helpfully through God's word? Steve, thank you so much. I want to honour you because in that, we've been blessed through the preaching of God's word. And Darren as well. You won't know, Darren comes up here now and again. We love to cheer him and gives us a little bit. But the amount of work that he does behind the scenes is incredible. And actually, look at all the leaders around you. Because they've been working on this week for months. Months and months. And as soon as it finishes, they'll be thinking about next year. It's great that, isn't it? To have leaders who are passionate about Jesus, want to give their time for Jesus, for you, so that you can learn and you can grow. Isn't it wonderful? Are you thankful for them? Yeah, absolutely. I hope you are anyway. Well, I am. I thank you guys. Now, we sang a song then 2 minutes ago, and you all sang this line. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. Do you mean it? We often sing songs, don't we? And we say things. And actually, I don't know if we always mean it. But one way that we can follow Jesus, and one way to follow Jesus, is to follow good leaders. To follow good leaders. And this evening, we're going to be thinking about that a little bit. Well, first of all, I want to tell you about a guy. He's going to come up on the screen. Here we go. He looks cool. Yeah. That could be the next fashion, that hairdo. And his name was John Bunyan. Oh, that's an unfortunate name. If you want to know what a bunion is, go and speak to an old people. They've probably got a few. Okay? Right, it's unfortunate. But this guy, he was a pastor of a church. And this guy, John Bunyan, he wrote loads of books. He wrote actually a book that is the most sold book outside of the Bible in history, called Pilgrim's Progress. If you've never read it, go and read it. But he was a pastor, and he lived at a time where the true gospel was rejected. The true gospel wasn't allowed to be preached. It was against the law. But he was a pastor of a church who loved the true gospel. He loved it. And so he wanted to continue to teach it. And one day, he was going to meet with his church family, and somebody ran up to him and said, John, don't, whatever you do, don't preach today. Don't preach today, because a court order has been given that if you preach one word of the gospel of Jesus, you'll be arrested and sent to prison. John thought about it, and he said this: how will the people in this church keep the faith if their pastor is unwilling to suffer loss for it? I shall preach God's word, whatever happens. He said in a little bit of old English, but it was something like that. Whatever happens, I will preach. That day he preached the gospel, he was arrested. He ended up being in prison for spending over 12 years in prison for preaching the true gospel to his church. In the latter years of his life, in the latter years of his prison sentence, another church asked him to be their pastor. It's mad, isn't it? He's in prison. They asked him to be his pastor. And the prison officer said, yeah, you can go and you can preach the gospel to your church on one condition, that after you've finished, you come back to prison. Every single time he did that. It's amazing, isn't it? You see, what a guy he was. What a leader he was. You see, imagine this was your pastor. Imagine this was one of your elders in your church. You see, John Bunyan was a man of the Word of God. And he is a man of Christ-like character. This is a man I would love to follow. That's a man I would like to follow. In our passage in 1 Timothy this evening, we come and we think about leaders in the church. Now, I guess when you come to this, you're probably reading it. Most of you are reading this and you're thinking, what on earth has this got to do with me today? Yeah? Some of you are nodding. Yeah. What has it got to do with me? I mean, I can just skip past this. We come to passages like this. We say, oh, I'm not a leader in church. I can skip past this. I don't need to know what's going on. We need to remember that church leadership affects every member of a church. Every member of a church. So it has got everything to do with you, if you are a follower of Jesus and you are part of a local church. Everything to do with you. And you know, the church that you're in will reflect the type of leadership that you have. It will reflect it. And you will probably reflect the leadership that you have. Paul's been showing us what it looks like for the church of the living God to be a Genesis 2 community, but to be that in this Genesis 3 world. But it's a beautiful picture that we're seeing. And in chapter 3, Paul says that for the church in Genesis 2 to be this Genesis 2 community, it needs leaders who will live in godliness and holiness and would help us to live godly and holy lives, to help us to live that that Genesis 2 community. And the reason is a specific reason. You see, we read in chapter 2 yesterday. So open your Bibles, if you haven't got them open, if someone next to you has got it instead, and turn to chapter 2 and look at verse 1 to 4. Let's read it again. We looked at it yesterday. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour. And listen to this line. Who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of God for the church. To live in godliness and holiness and to display his glory, as we've seen. But to display his glory so that the world sees him through the church. Why? Because he wants all to be saved. And it's only him who can save. It's only him. And as we live in godliness and holiness, as we live that Genesis 2 way, we have a message to proclaim. He is the message. We read it in chapter 1, verse 15. Flick over to it. Chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. This is the greatest thing that you need to know. And this is the message that the church is to proclaim. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's all about that. So that Christ can build a church for himself. And then his church can display his glory so he can welcome more people into his church. And Paul says, for the church to display the glory of God and to proclaim this message, the leaders in the church need to lead with these things at their heart. And this is good leadership. This is the leadership that you, if you're a Christian, should be seeking to follow. So, it's massively important, isn't it? Massively important, isn't it? Absolutely it is. It's massive. And I also want you guys to know that as this morning, in fact, we were praying this for you guys. That in this room, there will be leaders of God's church in the future. That's our prayer. That some of you will be leaders in the church for his glory. So, are you going to listen up? Are you going to brush over and switch off? It's too important. So don't. Don't do it. You see, he starts and he talks about two types of leaders. Paul said in every church there should be two types of leaders. There should be overseers or elders, I'll call them elders throughout this, elders and deacons. And he starts with elders. Now, the elders are leaders of the church. They are the leaders of the church, a local church. The elders are what you might call the serving leaders. The serving leaders. These are a few men who pastor the church. Basically, they care for them. They oversee the church, how it runs. They shepherd the church. We'll see what that means in a little bit. And they lead the church. And they love the church as a family. And they have authority within a local church. And they are the ones who have the huge responsibility that we saw yesterday. The massive responsibility to save and protect the people of God. The people that Jesus has won by dying for them on the cross. It's a massive responsibility, isn't it? And each individual church, each small household of God, should have a group of men who who take on this responsibility. And in Acts chapter 20, it's going to come up on the screen, Paul visited the Ephesian elders, the church that, where Timothy is and where he's writing to. And in this passage, he says some really important things to these leaders, and it gives us an insight into what it looks like to be an elder. It says this, "Keep watch over yourselves," he's talking to the elders, remember, "and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," or made you elders. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, even for your own from your own number. Men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard." You see, we get some ideas here of what the responsibilities that elders have. The first thing he says is, watch out. Watch out. Watch out for yourself and watch out for the flock. Watch out for the church, the people in the church. And the way that you do this is a few ways. Lead the church, first of all. An elder is to lead the church, but you lead the church under Christ. You see, these men have been appointed by the Holy Spirit. They've been appointed by God into a unique role in the church. And who does this church belong to? Who does the church belong to? Tell me. It's God. The church belongs to God because Christ has won the church through dying for people. That's how they've been come into the church. Belongs to him. He is the head of the church. So, does the church belong to the elders? No. The church belongs to Christ. But the elders lead the church under him. And the elders are answerable to him. They're answerable to the Son of Man, the one who has all power, all authority. The elders of the church are answerable to him for his church. So they are to lead the church under Christ. They are to protect the church like Christ. You see, it says elders are shepherds and the church are sheep. All over the Bible, it talks and uses this illustration of the shepherd and the sheep. And the shepherd in a field, he protects his sheep. He looks out for problems coming to keep them alive. He keeps them close. Make sure that they're all right. Make sure that they're safe. And in Jesus, in John chapter 10, tells us that he is the good shepherd. The shepherd of all shepherds for his people. And what does he do? He lays down his life for his sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. And elders in a church are under shepherds. They're to be like Christ. They're to be like him. And they're to lay down their lives for the sheep. They are to, we've seen it yesterday, save and protect the people of God. Those in the church. And they do it for Jesus. Elders are to protect the church. What are they to protect them from? Protect them from wolves. What do wolves do with sheep? They ravage them. They destroy them. They eat them. They kill them. These wolves that Paul is talking about are the false teachers that we've seen in chapter 1 who take the gospel of Jesus, the living gospel of God, and they twist it and they turn it. And they stop people knowing Christ and lead people to death. Elders are to protect you from them. Elders lead the church under Christ. They protect the church like Christ. They teach the church the true word of Christ. This is the one gift. You see, we're going to see in a minute that being an elder, all is required is one gift. One gifting, and that is to be able to preach the word of God. To have the gift to teach the word of God. And this one requirement is a must for elders. So basically, they are to be men of the word, men of the true gospel. They're to be in it, to love it, to build their life upon it, and then they're to share it and to teach it all the time to people that they know in all situations, to people in their church. They're to teach the true word of God. If they're not teaching the true word of God, they are not elders. And then finally, they're to model the character of Christ. And we'll see the importance of that in a moment. You see, the responsibilities of an elder is to lead under Christ, to protect like Christ, to teach Christ, and to model Christ within his household, the household of God, his church. And these responsibilities are massive. They're heavy, aren't they? They are heavy. But actually, Paul, in 1 Timothy, focuses on something, another part of it. And it is the character of these men. The character of elders in a church is what matters. Sadly, we live, don't we, in that Genesis 3 world. And it's heartbreaking and it's devastating at times. And when we look at leaders, sometimes they fail. Leaders fail. We see it all over the place, people failing. But leaders fail usually because of their character, both in the world and also in the church. They fail because of lies. They fail because of abuse, being overbearing of people. They fail because of pride and lust and greed. These are just a few things, few areas where people fail in leadership in our world. And when it happens, it is awful and it's devastating, and it's devastating for other people. It's destructive, it's painful, and it damages people. And it's even more devastating when it happens in the church of God. And many people in the church have been hurt so badly. So badly. That might be you, it might be your family. Being hurt so badly, so deeply by failing leaders. And it can be so devastating that church families sometimes are ripped apart. Ripped apart. And sometimes people who once professed Christ as their Lord walk away from church altogether because of how leaders have treated them. And so Paul says, listen, I don't care about your gifting. What matters is your character. That's what matters when it comes to leadership. And it's a character that must be of godliness and holiness. And so we get to chapter 3, finally. Sorry, it's a long intro, wasn't it? But we get to chapter 3. But it's really important to notice when he's talking about the character of elders, what he doesn't say. He doesn't say that they have to have amazing personalities. He doesn't. We're drawn to big personalities, aren't we? But Paul doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. Doesn't say that an elder has to have a theological degree or go to Bible college. It doesn't say this. Doesn't say that they have to be a certain age. So if you're an old man, then surely you can be an elder. No. Doesn't mean that if you're a young man, that you're too young to be an elder. Doesn't say that, actually. Doesn't say that if you're successful in the world, that you can be an elder. Just because you're successful in the world, it doesn't mean that you're able to lead the Jesus church. It doesn't say that women can be elders. This is a male role. We talked about this yesterday a little bit. But it's not about equality. It's not about gifting. It's not about superiority. It's about those roles that God has made for his church that we saw yesterday. It doesn't say that all men are elders. It doesn't say that. It's only a select few who are chosen as elders, and it's a spiritual role, and they're set aside by God. It doesn't say that in a church, one man should be the elder and rule over everything. It doesn't say that. It's to be a group of men working together to lead the church together under Christ. And it doesn't say that they're to be perfect, because Jesus is the only perfect man. So what does Paul say? Well, firstly, he says this. Look at verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying. Remember, we saw that before? And it was to do with proclaiming the gospel. Here's another great truth. And you have to hold to it. Whoever aspires to be an overseer or an elder desires a noble task. Paul is saying, if you desire to be an elder of a church, this is an amazing thing to desire. Now, I said before, this is a role for men. Young guys, I want to speak to you for a moment. I want to speak to you just for 2 minutes. The world will offer you men so much, yet will give you so little. Give you so little. It tells you to seek after it. Seek after the world and these promises of the world. It tells you to desire the world. But Paul says here, be men that seek to be godly. Be that man. Be Christ-like. You see, a Christ-like living or a Christ-like life is of more value than anything that this world can ever offer you. And Paul says, if you want to be a man who leads, protects, teaches Christ and models Christ, that is an awesome thing. That is an awesome thing to want that. And that is what it means to set your eyes on things above and not on things upon the earth. It is a noble thing, he says, because you are dealing with the household of God, the household of the living God. What greater calling that might be for you. That you can do that. That you can protect the people that Jesus has won with his blood upon a cross. And guide them to follow him in godliness and holiness. It's an amazing call. And if you desire that, that is a great thing. That is a great thing. So what I would say is, young men, I'd say this to all of you, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, go for it. Go for it. But you go for it through looking like this, what we're going to see now. These characteristics. You see, you'll notice how they are counterculture, totally counterculture to the world that we live in. They're a different type of leadership. They're not the type of leadership that the world calls for, but they are of eternal value. Eternal value. You see, the world would say a good leader is some of these things: a gifted communicator, a good listener. Someone who inspires people. Someone who sets a vision for people to follow. You've got to give them a vision to follow. Has great enthusiasm. Is a people person. Is outgoing. Sets a goal and goes after it. Does whatever he can to make it happen. Now, these aren't bad things, are they? They're not bad things. They're good things. But Paul here gives 15 characteristics of an elder. And only one of them is about gifting. The rest are about the character of a person. Your character is massive. So, follow it through with me. We're going through it quite quick, so don't worry. Chapter 3, verse 2 to 7. The first thing he says is this. Be above reproach. Be above reproach. So, to be above reproach is basically to live in a way that no one can take you down. Because no one can pull you down because of the life that you've lived. No one can criticize you. And no one can criticize you like they can say about Satan, who is sinful. and others who have lived a sinful life. They can't accuse you in a way that would damage the church that you're looking after. And if he does sin, if that man does sin, and he will, he's a man of repentance, a man who confesses his sin. Because there's no perfect man apart from Jesus. So he's got to be above reproach. He's faithful to his wife. Don't shut off from this bit. Okay? Because this is really important. It doesn't say he has to be married. It doesn't say that. So a single man can be an elder. But if he is faithful. And he lifts up his wife. He lifts his wife. He leads her to Christ. He treats the covenant promises that he has made with his wife seriously. And he treats other women outside of the church, knowing that they're made in the image of God. Treats them in that way. And he treats women with inside the church as sisters in Christ, because that is who they are. You see, if a man cares badly for his wife or other women, how will he treat Jesus' bride? Do you know who Jesus' bride is? It's the church. If he can't do that with his own wife, how will he do it with the church? Young men, I want to speak to you one more time. Look at me a second. Young men, how do you look at the women around you? The women in the world. The women in this world are made in the image of the living God. Remember that. Remember that. And I want you to just look around the room a little bit. Just a moment. Look at the ladies around you. It's all right. Don't be scared. It's okay. You can look at people. Right? Some of these ladies, I'm going to say probably most of the ladies in this room, are daughters of the living God. Remember that. Remember that. And love them like that, as sisters in Christ. Love them as sisters in Christ. The older ladies in your church, look at them as mums in Christ or aunties in Christ. Do that. Do it now. Let God shape you in that way. So they're to be faithful to their wives. They're to be temperate. We'll shoot through these now quickly. Basically means be sensible. You don't lose their head when things go bad. Okay? They're sensible about their response. They're self-controlled. It's similar, but basically, you might look at it in this way. They can hold their tongue. They can hold their tongue. You're not one of those people who goes and starts ripping people apart on media and destroy people with your words and upset them, but you turn when something's not right. You turn to the living God and you get down on your knees and be that man of prayer that we were talking about yesterday. They are respectable men. You show respect even though some people will not respect you. Elders get attacked all the time, but they are to show respect like Jesus shows respect. They're to be hospitable, have open homes, welcoming homes, open lives for people to see Christ. Guys, have open lives. If you're a follower of Jesus, show people, and even when you fail, show them how you repent and you love Jesus and how he forgives you. Have an open life. That's what it looks like. And you should be able to teach. That's what an elder should. This is the only gifting. All elders need to be men of the word, as I said before, learning, growing, sharing the word of God and teaching it. They're not to be given to drunkenness. Guys, this is going to be hard for you over the coming weeks and years. You're not to get drunk as a Christian. It doesn't say you don't drink. It says don't get drunk. Don't lose control. Know when to stop. Don't depend upon things of this world in that way. Be a man of discipline, man of control, a man who runs to Jesus, not dependent upon the things of this world. He is not a violent man, but he's gentle. He's basically, you're not hot-headed. Young guys, this is something that lots of guys struggle with. Look in the world, see on these riots that are going on, they're off their heads. They're hot-headed, they're violent. Be different to that, those sorts of men. You're not that part of that world. Not a lover. Not quarrelsome. Do you bite back? Do you argue? Are you doing it at home with your family, with your brothers and sisters now? Are you doing that? Ask the Lord to make you a man who is not quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. We saw that this morning, didn't we? The love of money leads to all kinds of evil. Your heart is to be for the things of eternity, not for the things of this earth. He's to manage his own family well. To see that his children, as they grow and listen to him, obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full of respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? That's a massive thing. And he's not to be a recent convert, because a recent convert might get proud if they get into a position. That sort of thing. And he must also have good reputation with outsiders, because the church displays the glory of God to the world so they see Christ and want to know him. And elders are to lead in that. Now, when you work through this, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? Wow. Is anybody like, that's a lot? That's heavy? Yeah? No? Easy? It's heavy, isn't it? It's a heavy way of living. It's a crazy high calling, you might say. But you know what? Actually, if you think about it, there is nothing near that all of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus are not called to. Apart from being able to teach. That's the one thing. Actually, these characteristics are the marks of all those who follow Jesus. And the Holy Spirit shapes us and works these things in us through ordinary life. It's living your godly life for Jesus. Because, tell me if I'm wrong, as Christians, we're all to be above reproach. We're all to be faithful people. We're all to be self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, not given to drunkenness, gentle, not quarrelsome, not to love money. All of us, men and women, boys and girls who love the Lord Jesus, are to be that. We're to live this way. And we're to display the character of who? The character of Christ. Because if you look at this list, it is Jesus on a page. We live as Christ. So, when you go to church on a Sunday, when you meet during the week, when you go to your youth, what should we be seeing? We should be seeing little elders everywhere. Shouldn't we? We should be seeing little elders. We should be seeing people display the character of Christ. That's what we should be longing for. Okay? Look, to be an elder, a man needs to be a servant leader. He lays down his life. He reflects Christ and gives all for the mission of Christ within his household, within his church. So listen, guys, can I ask you to pray? We were called to pray yesterday, but I specifically want you to pray about this. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your elders. Pray that they would be men like that, that will lead you under Christ, that will protect you like Christ, that will teach you Christ, and would model him to you. And then do you know what you do? Follow them. Follow them. Look, they are not perfect, but they are men of godly character, hopefully. So pray for them. Girls, look at the lads around you. It's your turn. Look at the lads around you. Look at them. Most of these lads, or lots of these lads, are brothers in Christ. They are brothers in Christ. Pray, girls, pray that they would be this man. Pray that they would be men of character like this. Pray that they would look to Jesus. Pray for them now. You're not too young to pray for your brothers in Christ. You pray for your mates probably when you're with them. Pray for your brothers in Christ. Pray that they would look to Jesus and encourage them to do this. Because you know what? These are the sort of men that you need in your life. Whether they are become actual elders or not. These are the characters that you want to see in the lads that you're growing up with. Lads, seek after Jesus. Seek after Jesus more than anything in this world. Look to Jesus, the real man, and follow him. Work through these characteristics and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to shape these in your life now. Now, today. Whilst you're young. Because you know what? Leaders are not born overnight. They're grown over time. And they're grown in relationship with Jesus. So get in relationship with Jesus. And you know, just one more thing I just want to say about elders, right? And it's this. Yesterday, some of us said that we struggle with authority. But if we have leaders like this, and we have, these are leaders that we can follow. Leaders that we can follow to Jesus. And if we're part of a family, a church family, who have leaders of godly character like that, we can trust them. We can follow them because you know what? They don't want you to look to them. They want you to look to Jesus. They want you to look to Jesus. And in Hebrews, it tells us actually that we can have confidence in our leaders. We can submit to their authority because they keep watch over those who must not, who they keep watch over those, watch over you as those who must give an account. And do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. But that would be of no benefit to you. Listen, trust your leaders. People love to moan about the leaders because everybody thinks that they can run the church. Be different. Be different. We all think we know best. The elders get it wrong. Why not be different? Why not love your elders? Trust them. Listen to them. As they are seeking to save and protect you for Jesus, because that's of great benefit for you. It's the best for you. And they're trying their best for you. And they're doing it because it's of eternal value for you. And it's a wonderful thing when we have men who are like Christ, whom we can follow. It's a wonderful thing. So pray for them. And pray that the Lord will protect them. Have you ever prayed that for your elders? Pray that the Lord will protect them. Because Satan hates it. And he wants to get them and use them to destroy the church. So pray that they will keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. And it's a great thing. Guys, go back to the point. If you aspire to be an overseer, you desire a noble task. So seek after Jesus. Seek after him. Ask him to shape you today. Aspire to be a man of God. Aspire to have a character like Christ. Aspire to be a man of the word. Aspire to be an elder. I hope some of you think, yes, I want to do that. But you know what? Paul goes on. He goes on in verse 8. In the same way, deacons are to be people of character. But it's just a different role. To be people of character, but a different role. You see, deacons is a serving role. To be a deacon, you're a leader of servants. Elders are serving leaders. Deacons are leading servants. And they stand out in this service for God and his church. Deacons were set aside in Acts chapter 6 because the leaders of the church, the apostles at the time, had to concentrate on word and prayer. And so all the practical things, these guys with gifts, with practical things, were to become a part of that and help them not to get distracted from that. So they help other people to lead well. They help other people to save the church. And do you know what? We look at deacons sometimes and we think, oh, that's a nothing job. They do nothing. And we get the wrong picture about it. We think that, oh yeah, to be a deacon is like a second level. And actually, in time, you can step up to be an elder. But that's not what it is at all. It's not a stepping stone. It's a unique gift and role within the church, and it's a beautiful thing. And we're going to look at a few things now. And you may think that it's different from the elders what they're doing, but they're doing the exact same thing. In fact, do you know how good it is to be a deacon? Jesus was a deacon. Because the word deacon means to serve. To serve. And we saw it yesterday in Mark chapter 10, didn't we? What did Jesus say? He said this, whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man, so Jesus himself, the one who has all authority over all things, did not come to be saved, but to save and give his life as a ransom for many. That word save means deacon. He did not come to be deaconed, but to deacon and give his life as a ransom for many. So the deacons in your church, do you know what they're doing? They're doing what Jesus does. They're being like Jesus. Can you see that to be a deacon is a wonderful calling to save like Jesus, who saved his church by giving his life for them? It's wonderful, isn't it? And you know, it's a wonderful calling for men and for women, as we'll see in a minute. So I want you to value those who are deacons in your church. If you don't know who they are, find out who they are. Thank them for what they're doing, because they're doing it so that the elders can teach you and can follow Jesus, to teach you to follow Jesus. Massive role, massively important in what they do. And it's wonderful, and it brings glory to God. But again, if you want to be a deacon, it's character is what matters. Verse 8 to 13. He says this, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truth of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing else against them, let them serve as deacons. Now, verse 7 says, in the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, temperate, trustworthy in everything, faithful to his wife, if he's a man, faithful to his wife, manage his children and his household well. What do you notice about that list and the eldership list? There's hardly any difference, is there? It's all about character. There's hardly any difference. Deacons are to be people of Christ-like character, just like the elders. Paul puts massive importance on this role within the household of God. These are to be people who look at those people who others can see. They serve Christ. And we want to follow them in how they serve Christ. And they're to be people of the word. Did you notice that? They might not have the gift to teach the word, but they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They may not be preachers and teachers like the elders, but you know what? They are men and women of the word. They are men and women who love it. They build a life upon it. And you know what? They try to encourage others to serve the Lord and to love it and to love his word and to live by it and to share it. That's what a deacon is to do. They're not just car park attendants. No, they're not. Because that's what we all think. Something like that. They're not. They're serving the living God. And they're to encourage you to do the same. So that the world sees that we belong to Jesus. And just like with elders, we should be seeing deacons all over the church. Little deacons. All over the church. Little deacons serving one another. Dying to self to save one another. Even if you're not officially a deacon. Because all Christians should seek to live a life for Jesus. That's what it is. And this is how we're to conduct ourselves if we're in the household of God. That's what we read right at the start. Paul's telling us how to conduct ourselves in the household of God. Our leaders are to be like this, and we're to follow them in the same direction. There are a few differences. Only men are to be elders in church. They must be able to teach. Elders are responsible in leading the church under Christ, which again is a massive responsibility, and they're They will be held to account. Steve said this the other day. When we stand before the living Jesus, we will be held to account as elders for how we have done this for Jesus. What better thing to give your life to, guys, by the way? Deacon is a role for both men and women. Verse 11, it's a tricky verse. And there are some churches who say, actually, we were just going to have men doing both roles. But I think, and many of us here believe, that this is a role for women to step into. And it's to read like this. Elders live this way. Then you get to verse 8. Just like the elders, deacons live like this. Then you get to verse 11. Just like the deacons and the elders, deaconesses live like this. Live like this. Be Christ-like. And deacons are responsible for leading others to save so that men and women can serve right across the church for Jesus. So, men and women, serve. That's you. I'm calling you a man and a woman. Men and women of the church, serve. Deacons serve the church and Christ in order for the elders to lead the church under Christ. It's an amazing role. A beautiful role. Both of these are for Jesus. And Paul says in verse 13, those who served, those who deaconed well, gain an excellent standing and great assurance of their faith in Christ Jesus. You see, to serve as a deacon, to serve the Lord Jesus and his church well, we gain excellent standing. Listen, guys, you can serve in a way that to gain excellent standing. And that is amazing. Do you know why? Because there's somebody else who served the church who has the most excellent standing. And that is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. We look at him and we see that he saved the church. It is the Lord Jesus. We look to him and say, yes, he is the one that I will follow. He is the one who has set an example that I will follow. He came from heaven to die for my sins. He came to save me. He came to serve me. He is the greatest of deacons. And he has gained an excellent standing in the church. He has gained a place of all glory and honor and all authority because of who he is and what he has done for his church. So listen, serve to your heart's content for Jesus. Because if it was good enough for him, it is good enough for us all. And you know, he is so wonderful that he will share that glory with you. And so we worship him, we follow him, we serve him. So be like Jesus and be in good standing. Look, we've gone on. But followers of Jesus, young followers of Jesus, pray for your elders and deacons. Pray for your elders and deacons. Pray that they would be like Jesus and that they will help you to be like Jesus. But listen, I'm going to say this. Listen, if they don't, go and find some that will. If your elders and deacons don't guide you to Jesus, go and find some that will. It's too important. And as you look at these requirements of elders and deacons, remember that all of these things are what it is to follow Jesus. And ask him to shape you. Ask him to shape you so that we can all encourage each other in this and we can all live that Genesis 2 life together. Ultimately, so the world will see who we belong to and will want to know Jesus and be saved by him. Paul in 1 Timothy 3 says that we need people like this to lead and save the household of God. Pray that that would be you. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Why not pray tonight when you go into your rooms, maybe in your group? Pray for your leaders. Pray for your elders. Pray for your deacons. If you don't know who they are, when you get home, find out who they are and start being people who pray for them. And then pray that you will be young men and women who have the character of Christ and that you will conduct yourself in a Christ-like way in God's household. Why? Because it's the church of the living God. It's the pillar and foundation of truth. Pray that the Lord will shape your character today, now, in order that you can lead tomorrow for his glory. It's a good prayer, isn't it? Pray. And then go and live for Jesus, young men and young women. Live your hearts, your lives for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our elders. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our deacons. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus. Help us all to follow him. We pray in his name. Amen.